How can I get the voices and instrument sound, as you sometimes don't know what is voice and what is instrument, for instance? I found that very inspiring way of linking voices and instruments together.
Is there such a thing as Nordic music? Can music really sound like the place it's from, even if the place we talk about might encompass everything from sleek cities to intensely dramatic landscapes, apparently teetering on the edge of the world? 12 composers from 7 countries are nominated for this year's Nordic Council Music Prize. I'm Andrew Meller, I'm a music journalist, and together on this podcast, we're going to delve into all 12 pieces of music and meet the people who made them. Hello, this is Andrew in Copenhagen.
Hello, this is Karin in Stockholm.
Today we're off to Sweden to meet Karin Rehnqvist, a Swedish composer with a particular interest in the folk music of her country. She's nominated for Silent Earth, a 3-movement piece for choir and symphony orchestra that dares to imagine our planet arid and abandoned. Hi, Karin. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
So you're in Stockholm. Perhaps you could describe where it is you're talking to us from.
Yes, from my home. It's just outside Stockholm in Nacka, it's called. And it's at a lake and with big trees around and a big forest.
Sounds like a quintessentially Swedish view. And is this also your working environment, your workplace?
Yes, yes.
Are you the sort of composer who needs such views of nature in order to write?
Yes, I think so. I need to walk in the nature, and I prefer to see nature when I look out of my window. But of course, as far as I can take a walk, I can also work in a studio or something.
Well, in the subject of your piece, Silent Earth, presumably the effects of climate change are very noticeable from the environment you just described from where you live.
Yes, it is in some respect of changing plants, for instance, in the wood. I can see others coming up, but not so much otherwise.
Karin grew up singing in choirs in the south of Sweden, but quickly moved to the front of the choir as a conductor before deciding to write music rather than just interpret it. Silent Earth reveals her love for jazz and folk music, even borrowing techniques from the Swedish herding calls known as kulning. It imagines its assembled musicians as a community of humans, dumbstruck at what has happened to their former home, but also drenched in guilt and anger. The prize committee summarises the piece as a bewildering and powerfully encouraging work. A dramatic musical narrative emerges and leads the listener from ice into fire with a relentless force. I come away from Silent Earth feeling as though I've been reminded of what a complex issue climate change really is, and emotionally as well as politically. Karin's music is tangible, binding and galvanising, as much in its moments of quiet stillness as in its violent fury and vivid natural imagery. It's complicated when we talk about climate change and our emotional response to it, because it's often not as simple as we'd like to think. You know, there are conflicting emotions, aren't there, when we consider what's coming. You seem to sort of enunciate that very beautifully in your piece. I mean, you are scared for the future, though, aren't you?
Yes, very scared and very worried and a bit depressed also. As a composer, you have a voice, you have a channel to reach out. So I think you should use that also. Not all the time, but sometimes.
You certainly force yourself to look into the abyss in Silent Earth. It's something to make yourself do this, isn't it? To put yourself into these frightening situations in your art, as well as the situations we face in real life. is it worth it? I mean, why put yourself through it?
I feel I don't have any choice, actually. You have to say what you have to say. And I'm always trying to put my big ears on bigger than normal and listen to what is needed to be said, not what do I want to say, but what is needed to be said today. And we have to talk about climate crisis. We can't just pretend it's not there. And then my point of departure is always to ask the music. The music is my truth teller. So what is going to happen? I put that question into the music. So I never know where to end when I start. I start the process and then I try to follow the music.
Let's talk a little bit about the genesis of the music then.
Actually, it started with an improvisation by me. I did on piano and voice, just an improvisation. And then I phoned Kerstin and said, could we meet? And I think we really have to do something about this, our earth and us human beings, how we take care of or not take care of the earth.
Do you remember when you first came across the work of the poet you collaborated with here, Kerstin Persky?
It's more than 20 years ago we started to collaborate, and then with a children's opera. So she mostly worked as a librettist and as a playwright, but also then poems. So it was more as a dramatic person I met her. She really understands there must be a reason for singing the words, not talking them. And she really understands what you need, what kind of sounds, but also what kind of atmosphere you need to sing it out loud.
Tell us about your relationship to Swedish folk music, because you do feel closely, don't you, the folk music traditions of Sweden?
Yes, I love it. It's just a passion. I met it not where I come from. I played and sang classical music and in church and so. But when I heard it first, I just thought, oh, I like this. And then I have learned a lot. I worked a lot with singers, folk music singers, and their special techniques, which I think here also in the last movement, it's called kulning, and where you sing very loud and very piercing.
And has this been a project of yours throughout your career, to find ways of integrating Swedish folk music into your own voice or the language of contemporary classical music?
Yes. One leg is the folk music and the other leg is the classical music where I stand. But it's not that I have tried to integrate it. It's the way I can express the music I want to do.
You've mentioned before about trying to use instruments against their sort of historical, rhetorical personas. So we don't hear heroic hunting horns. We don't hear swooning strings. You try to look at instruments very differently, don't you? To divorce them from their kind of traditional associations.
Yeah, but I don't think like that when I'm composing. I'm more into voices and instruments. How can they mix? How can I get the voices and instrument sound, as you sometimes don't know what is voice and what is instrument, for instance. I found that very inspiring way of linking voices and instruments together. Here, I mean, what really is striking also, I think, is this song. We were the ones, the choir sings almost in unison, like a simple melody. We are the ones who once were. And then suddenly, emotionally, it just bursts out, you know? It's like going and then things just have to come out, have to sound. It's really going from piano to fortissimo very quickly. And that is a very emotionally strong expression, I think. And the singers, they really can expand their voices very much.
Perhaps you can tell us about when you first heard the piece in the flesh, as it were, because, you know, composing can be a lonely profession, and as much as you have ideas and sounds in your head, the first performance of a work can strike you, can't it?
Yeah, it was in January in Amsterdam with the Netherlands Radio Choir and Philharmonic Orchestra. And I remember this really being as I wanted it directly. And that's very seldom so. They had really understood it. I was wondering a bit about the end, which is a lot of percussion. At the rehearsals, it was too soft. And I said, I want more. I want it loud. It must be louder. And they said, yes, wait. We will do that on the concert. And they certainly did.
Well, Karin, thank you very much indeed. It's been fantastic to experience Silent Earth. And thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on it. And congratulations for your nomination.
Yeah, thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Karin Rehnqvist there. And for all its exploration of the complexities of the issue, you can be left in no doubt as to the central message of her piece Silent Earth, thanks to the composer's lucid music for voices and the strength of her musical imagery. This is purifying, frightening, and extremely resonant music. Well, Karin is just one of 12 nominees for 2022's Nordic Council Music Prize. You can listen to all 12 talk about their music on this series. Just head to wherever you're listening from now. You can also read about the nominated works at norden.org. I'm Andrew Meller, and this podcast was produced for the Nordic Council by Niels Bjørn and Ines Gack at Immersive Stories. Thanks for listening.